there, ladies and gents, and welcome back to Snell Nation. I'm Sir Thomas, and hey, let's get this party started. So, I'm going to mix it up a little bit, and decided to kind of post my list of words I feel that need to die as we roll into go from 2021 to 2022. And I also have an additional list of words I believe that need to live on and actually go mainstream. And it's not a super long list. I've got 8 of each just so there's balance, you know, and we all like our numbers to be even. So I stopped at a nice even number of 8. I think that's fair. So, hey, let's start. So my number one, and this is words, phrases, and acronyms. So there's a blend. So this first one is the lesser of two evils. I believe it's time for that phrase to die. It sounds great. It's typically applied to politics. It's usually whenever people, vote, they vote for their president or someone to take a congressional seat. And then when that person turns out to be a huge failure, to make themselves feel better, they'll say, well, he or she was the lesser of two evils. You know, that other guy or gal was even worse, you know, somehow, some way. But I think it's nonsense. I think it's something that just needs to die. Number two, white privilege. It's something that we've heard time and time again, especially in the last, I would say, 5 or 6 years. It's become this buzz phrase, you know, white privilege this, white privilege that. You know, of course it's something that, you know, it can't really be calculated or measured. The definition of it is somewhat vague, so you can kind of shift it and use it as you see fit. It's typically just something that's used as a weapon, something that you can use in a character assassination or something along those lines. Or if you're a minority and you want to stop a white conservative from expressing themselves, then you can just bring up white privilege. Even though you don't know them, know anything about them or their past, it's just something that can be weaponized. It needs to die. Number three, toxic masculinity. Blah, blah, blah. So this particular word, I was talking to a few people about it just through Messenger and through some social media platforms. And it's something that it's fairly new. It's a new creation. And once again, it's just something that can be weaponized and can stop someone from sharing their perspectives, or you can, you know, delegitimize their point of view by just simply throwing out there, well, you're a man, so toxic masculinity. There's no way you can understand the plight of a woman, or you can understand any of this or that or whatever. It's, you know, it's kind of the same as white privilege. You know, it's there are quite a few little buzzwords or phrases you're gonna hear in this list, and you'll be able to think back to a time where maybe it was thrown at you, or you saw it thrown at someone else on national television as just a method of shutting them down. You know, and this is another, just like white privilege, it's vague. It really doesn't mean anything. It's just another tool that can be weaponized and used to divide. So yes, it needs to die. Number four, white fragility. This one was made popular by a particular book that came out a few years ago. I'm not going to mention her name, and I'm not going to go into details about the book because it's absolute garbage. And the last thing I'm going to do is offer any type of plug or advertising for something that is just this terrible, and it's just essentially just a cash grab. But it's another one of those just empty words, vaguely defined, something you can kind of shift around and use as you need to suit any particular political agenda you have. It's popular on the left. I will say that it's very popular on the left. It's another tool to shut down, you know, white conservatives. So if you express your ideas and you sound too passionate, then they can just throw out the white fragility flag. So it's nonsense. It needs to die. Number five, we're getting into some good ones here. Hate speech. So this one, this little nugget is another great phrase that can be used as a weapon, and it is vague. You're going to see kind of a theme here. You're going to see some common threads here. So it's vague. You can use it however you need to, and you can direct it at anyone. I mean, it's subjective. So someone can say, listen, and I've had this happen where someone listened to something that I posted or a video or a meme or something and say that it's hate speech, which it's okay. Well, what does that even mean? There's just speech. There's no such thing as hate speech. You just made that up because it sounds scary. And of course, with the way our these algorithms with these different social media platforms, all someone has to do is just launch some complaint and just say hate speech, and then you can get banned, or you know, which is what I dealt with on Twitter, where it was just, hey, this violates our standards, or this is a form of, we believe this to be a form of hate speech. All right. And then I asked for more details. I didn't get any. Then you go to YouTube, demonetize me. You violated this criteria, you know, or someone launched a complaint. Well, who, or can I face my accuser, or, you know, they said that it was hate speech. Well, how is it hate speech? No response, nothing. Because it's nonsense, and it needs to die. Hate speech, done. Number six, hate crime. That's another thing that's just, it's used to divide us all up. Because if the focus was on the individual rights of all your citizens, and that's where the government put its focus, you wouldn't need to divide anyone up into Asians or blacks or Hispanics or whatever. It should just be focused on just your American citizens. That's it. Pretty simple stuff here, but we're not given the chance to breathe and step back and be able to look at the situation and see it for the farce that it is. So that's why we're constantly thrown in this cycle of, you know, now it's stop Asian hate because they want to pull Asians into it, which would be a bit more difficult because of their cultural background and the strength they have in their families and their culture. And they're not really known for wanting government help or government assistance or anything like that. And they're just as conservative, I believe, as blacks actually are and a bunch of other people, where they want small government, they want limited government and limited government intervention. So I think this whole campaign is going to fail. But going back to hate crime, you know, there's just this constant just division and constantly just breaking us up into all these groups. And it's makes it easier to govern. It makes it easier to manipulate the masses if they're all broken up into pieces, because if we all were one unit, we could look at this and see it for just the nonsensical mess that it is, you know. So yeah, hate crime, no, there's just crime. You murder someone, you committed a crime. You murdered someone and you were white and they were black. Oh, well, wait a minute, there might be some racial component. I don't care. Just they committed a crime. It's murder. We already got laws and stuff that deal with that. You know, don't make it more complicated, more convoluted, and more just ridiculous, you know, and set up a situation where people can weaponize it. And some have, which is why you have all these hate crime hoaxes. You have the Jesse's Smollett's, and, you know, even LeBron James, I think it was in 2017, he got in on it with the whole, hey, they spray painted the N-word on my gate. You know, police show up. Oh, it's not there. All right. Well, can you show us the camera footage? Ah, well, you know, the camera was on the fritz. I didn't need it recorded. You know, that's interesting. Well, the gate looks completely clean. Oh, well, that's because we cleaned it off. You know, like, well, that doesn't. Why would you do that? You know, so hate crime hoaxes are at an all-time high, especially over the past 6 years. And it just seems to coincide with the political cycle. But hey, what do I know? So hate crime, that word needs to die. Let's see. So number seven, diversity. Now, wait. Stay with me here. So diversity, I believe it's been misused, and you hear a lot of the, like, diversity is our strength. Diversity is our strength. And what it turned into is it just means that, you know, you want a bunch of people around you that don't look like you. And that's diversity. And they'll say that that's our strength. And I say no, because you can have a bunch of people around you that look different, that come like from a different part of the world, but still have the same mindset as you, approach problems the same way, have the same mindset. And how is that a strength? You want diversity of thought, a diversity of ideas, you know, that kind of stuff. Diversity in avenues of approach and courses of action and that sort of thing. That's what makes an organization strong, not just having a bunch of people that look different. And of course, now it's devolved into just meaning less white people. That's it. Diversity. Less white people. Less white men. That's it. So how does that make you stronger or progressive or whatever? I mean, I don't think it does, but hey, that's just me. So diversity in the sense of just the way it's being used currently as just an agenda tool, political tool, it needs to be retired. It needs to die. And finally, number eight, the word woke. It's been overused and it just doesn't mean anything. And the word awake is a far better word to use. It makes way more sense. But woke, it just doesn't hold any real weight or anything. So those are the eight that need to die. And I'll throw a bonus at you. And this is an acronym that we've been hearing a lot over the past 2 years. RINO, which stands for Republican in Name Only. And a lot of times it's thrown at a lot of Republicans that didn't support our previous president, or they don't support conservatives or conservative ideology. So they're labeled as RINO a lot of times. And it just doesn't mean anything. I'm sorry, but the politicians, so many of them are bought and paid for. I mean, if I had to put a number on it and I had to guess, I would say over 90%. You know, that's why you have these corporate donors that donate on the left and the right, because they know exactly what they're doing. And a lot of them, they just follow the scripts they're handed. Their donors just sort of tell them how to vote and what to push and what becomes law, what doesn't. Then they have the corporate lobbyists who they add their input and in many cases even get their hands on some of these bills and make adjustments to them. I mean, these are just facts. It's just the way the world works, unfortunately, or at least in this country, the way the system works. And so to just play around with these labels, like, yeah, it sounds cute and all, that RINO over there, you know, yada, 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 it doesn't mean anything. So those are my eight that need to die or need to be retired. So let's get to the good side. Let's get to the words and phrases that I believe need to not only live on, but they need to make it into the mainstream. You know, I believe these are words and phrases that if they actually were given their moment in the sun, we might actually make some progress to some semblance of a unified country that actually is moving in the right direction. So, number one, father absence. And I don't really need to dive too much further into it. I mean, I think those who've listened to me before talk about father absence and its impact on not just the Black community, but all communities, know exactly where I'm going with it. So yes, that's number one. Number two, congressional term limits. Every once in a while, it'll be brought up, and then it'll just go away magically. And then we'll just be focused on the next presidential election. And we get fixated on who's going to be in the White House for 4 to 8 years. And we won't really care all that much about who sits in those congressional seats for decades, for, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, you know, and they just sit there collecting their money, collecting all their donations and all that stuff, and they get their book deals, and they're just, and that's why over 50% of them are millionaires. They just sit, and we do nothing. They have like the trust rating is, you know, in the single digits for Congress. The approval rating has been, you know, 11% or below for like the past decade. But they constantly keep getting reelected. I think the reelection rate is 96%. You know, and we wonder why we have all these problems. And when people talk about the president, I have to remind them, you know, the president is okay. The executive branch, like, it serves its purpose. But, you know, the legislative branch is where the real power is. They can do so much. I don't understand why people just they don't care. They don't look into it. You know, they'll say, well, you know, we need the right president. We need a Republican president who can control the, you know, the pocketbook. Well, that's cute, but the president doesn't control the money. The president doesn't control the purse. Congress does. Nancy Pelosi does. So why aren't we focusing on that? So that's term limits. So number three, black criminality. Now, anytime I bring this up, I get some that agree. I get some that disagree. Some that'll play the whole, you know, the tit for tat. Like, well, wait a minute. Why aren't you talking about white criminality? Well, you know, they say you tend to drift close to what you know. And because I'm black and because of all the things I've seen in the rough areas that I grew up in, and then, of course, becoming an adult and then starting to do research and look at the data, I believe black criminality is pretty significant and plays a pretty big part in where we are now. And it's being utilized and weaponized to support certain political agendas and political ploys. So, yes, it needs to go mainstream. It needs to live on. Number four, individual rights. Individual rights. Pretty basic concept. It's what our government, what I believe our government should be solely focused on, protecting the individual rights of its citizens. And I don't believe that's what's happening here. I believe they've gone far beyond that. They've gone far beyond protecting their citizens from foreign invaders, protecting them from domestic terrorism, actual domestic terrorism, you know, and also helping them settle disputes between one another using our judicial system. You know, I believe that that's it. That's the core of the government. And I mean, I don't have to tell you. I mean, if you just have, you know, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a functional brain, you'll be able to look around and see that that's not where we are. Number five, freedom of choice. You know, and that goes deep into this whole conversation about vaccines. And a lot of people will go back and forth about the efficacy and the potency and, you know, the legitimacy of these so-called clinical trials and this whole Operation Warp Speed. And, you know, will these work? You know, are they necessary? And, you know, kids don't need them and this and that and yada, yada, yada. No, all that, just cut all that out. Freedom of choice. You know, your body, your choice. My body, my choice. If you want to inject some experimental substance, you know, into your blood or whatever, that's your prerogative. It's just like getting a tattoo. You want to get a tattoo? Hey, knock yourself out. You know, do I want to get one? Eh, I'm not really that interested in it. It's not really my thing. But I'm not going to try and stop someone else from doing it because it's their body. Have at it. Good luck. More power to you. So, yes, freedom of choice needs to go mainstream, needs to live on. Number six, immune system. Still hanging around the whole vaccine COVID thing. So we haven't heard much mention about the immune system. It's kind of like vitamins and exercise, sunlight, fresh air, you know, healthy food, that kind of stuff. We've ventured away from those concepts. Well, for the, I'd say over 5-10 years now. And there's been this focus on medications and vaccines and, you know, all this stuff to sort of replace what our body can naturally do if we take care of it. So I know that number six, the immune system, it needs to go mainstream. It needs to be discussed more. It needs to be out in the public eye so people can see it. And maybe they won't be as afraid if they just step back and they see, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I was born with a lot of these gifts and my body's able to heal and do different things. Now, yes, there are some that have immune deficiencies, immune system deficiencies. And that's, you know, one good thing that we have all these top-notch medical facilities, these top-notch doctors and all that stuff to help facilitate those individuals and help them through in their time of need. But of course, that doesn't give anyone the right to impose their will on a bunch of other healthy people, because that's where you're going into tyranny. But hey, that's just my belief. So that's number six. Number seven, nuclear family. I believe that we've been so wrapped up in collectivism and hedonism and, you know, consumerism and all that stuff. And we've gotten so far away from like just these connections that we have with family, excuse me, with nature, all that kind of stuff. And we've gone way off the reservation. So I think just the concept of family or the nuclear family, I think it's something that it needs to be mainstream. It needs to be discussed, you know, and it's just like immune system. It's just like freedom of choice. It's just like individual rights, you know, all relevant, all important. But for some reason, it's just kind of relegated to the back corner, you know, where two people will talk about it, but it never makes it to center stage up front where everybody can see it and hear it and discuss it. So that's number seven. Number eight, personal responsibility. Just even the word responsibility, we don't hear that enough. What we hear more of, especially in recent years, is a lot of finger pointing, a lot of blame, and just, hey, no, it's not your fault that you committed these crimes. You know, it's the legacy of slavery. It's that fault. Yeah, that's what it is. It's the system. You know, it's institutionalized racism and yada yada yada. And I should have added that to my phrases that needed to die. Institutionalized racism, systemic racism as well. Just more nonsense. But personal responsibility is such an important part of just being a productive adult and, you know, having ownership of your life and taking responsibility for the choices you make. Because essentially, once you become an adult, I mean, that your life is the sum of the choices you make. So if you don't take ownership of it, then you're not the author of your story. Someone else is. And they're going to dictate where you go, what you do, and how you live. And hey, good luck, depending on where you end up. So yes, personal responsibility needs to be mainstream. So let's see. I gave you a bonus for words that need to die. So the words that need to live on. The bonus phrase, I'll go with totalitarian oligarchy. I believe that's something else that, of course, you won't hear it a whole lot in mainstream media, because people actually start thinking and looking at the situation and wonder, oh, wait a minute. And they'll look at the definition of it, what a oligarchy is, or the oligarchs, what they are. And they'll step back and say, hey, I think we have a lot of that. We have a small circle of organizations and corporations and special interests that dominate and control just about everything in this country. You have that 1% of the 1% controlling most of the wealth. And then you have 330 million people just kind of working as drones, essentially. And not even giving it a second thought. You know, it's a turnkey tyranny without tears. It's a concentration camp without tears, as Huxley stated. So that's just my thought. Those are my list of words words and phrases that need to die, and my list of words and phrases that need to live on. So I'm curious. Feel free to message me. Leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. All your feedback is greatly appreciated. And give me some of your thoughts on social media. I'll share this video, or this video, my goodness, I'm thinking YouTube, when I share this audio. Just feel free to give it a listen. And give me, if you think there's a word in there that maybe I missed, or a phrase or an acronym, you know, or if you disagree with one side of the list or the other, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are. So appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Snell Nation out.